Hello, hello. Welcome to today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. My name is Brooke Collins and I am your host, recording here live on Zoom on Sunday, the 18th of July. I'm glad that those of you that are here on the Zoom are here and I'm excited to jump in. I decided to talk today about four types of drinkers that the way that I see them. There are four types of drinkers, right? There's the non-drinker, the social drinker, the gray area drinker, and the abuser or alcoholic. You know, like a non-drinker obviously is an abstainer, or they call them like teetotalers. Social drinker is a person who can easily have one drink on occasion, has no desire to consume alcohol regularly, daily. They don't really think about having alcoholic beverages. They have just a few, you know, periodically. I would consider my mom maybe a social drinker, although she probably only has like three alcoholic beverages a year. She's really just, it's not something that she has a desire to do. So yeah, still social drinker. Then there's the gray area drinker. The spectrum covers, you know, a whole range of drinking and behaviors that go along with the drinking. And it's really, it's the space in between the social drinker or the sober person and the full-blown alcoholic. And then obviously there's someone that's dependent on alcohol. And I think that discussing the four types of important because all of you that are on here and those of you that are listening to this podcast are clearly struggling a little bit with your relationship with alcohol. And I first and foremost want to preface everything by saying that you are not alone. I think it's 8 out of 10 women question their relationship with alcohol and how much they're drinking today in the year 2021 post COVID-19. You know, I would say, and I think there's a statistic and I'm going to have to Google it, but I think it's 50% of drinkers are in the gray area. And a lot of gray area drinkers are questioning their drinking, right? And the thing that I like is, or the thing that I like to say to gray area drinkers is that you are not alone. Drinking is a choice still. It's not a habitual dependence. It's a choice. You're choosing to drink, right? So I think that they're questioning whether or not they have a disorder. They're questioning their relationship with drinking. Gray area drinkers, to me, in the current state of the world and the people that I speak to, it's who I speak to most, I think, in the last like 3 months, definitely who I'm talking to most. Women who just are fed up with their behavior and their relationship when they drink, their behavior when they drink, and their relationship with alcohol in general. So back to the four areas type, the four types of drinkers, right? We've got your sober person, right? Your social drinker, your gray area, and then your alcoholic. So let's look at like, what is someone who's sober? Because here's the thing, when people look at like someone who's a non-drinker who is, oh, a teetotaler, I'm like air quoting that obviously. But it's really hard to not drink in today's world, isn't it? It's hard for women to abstain from drinking in today's world. I'm trying to think of, aside from like exercise classes, I mean, even art is wine and painting now, right? It's embedded in our culture, the alcohol, and it's hard to be someone who doesn't drink. Whether or not you're not drinking for being an alcoholic is irrelevant. Just so, as a person who doesn't drink, it's difficult at the beginning. And I want to make sure that that is noted. At the beginning, it is difficult because everybody does drink. And when you aren't doing something, just like with a diet, when you give up something, you notice it's like exploding everywhere. Everybody all of a sudden is drinking everything everywhere all the time. In reality, most people, once you get comfortable with being a non-drinker, again, whether it's for alcoholism or for health reasons or for personal choices, once you get comfortable saying no and flexing that muscle, it doesn't matter. And you start to realize that the people that are drinking after so long, and after they get used to you saying no, they don't give a rip if you're drinking or not. They really don't. They're going to drink regardless. And the people who care about you, you can bring them into a different area with a new relationship. Like instead of having wine and a charcuterie board, you know, on a Wednesday afternoon as like your adult time, if you're a mom, you know, go to on a walk, go to a yoga class, go to a workshop, go try a new hobby or something that you think would be interesting for both of you. But you can start bringing people into your world of not drinking without making it about the drinking or the not drinking. If that, does that make sense? You're nodding your head. So yeah. Okay. So non-drinkers are just, it. That's what they are. They don't drink. And I will say that I do think when you go from being a social drinker or a gray area drinker to a non-drinker, it's important to have a plan for when you're not going to drink, you know, like know where you're going, have an exit strategy. If you start getting uncomfortable, if you're going out and not to someone's house, look at the menu, check it out. So you're already set on what you're going to do and order and all of that stuff. If you're going to a party, bring your own beverages with you. I mean, most parties are BYOB for the most part anyway, right? So bring your own stuff and then be prepped for questions, you know? And it's okay just to say, like, I just prefer non-alcoholic drinks. I just prefer not to drink. You know, without being judgy, being cautious of how you do word it, because alcohol is such a sensitive subject for some people. So, you know, I just prefer not to drink. Period. End of story. That is it. And it becomes easier and easier every time you flex the muscles. So then we've got like the social drinker. So the difference between gray area drinking, alcoholism, and social drinking is social drinkers don't think about alcohol. They don't think about it. It's a choice that they don't ever really make. They are very confident and comfortable in the fact that they don't have a drink, or every once in a while when they do have a drink, it is just one or even half a one. You know, they're in control and they don't let alcohol interfere with anything, with an evening out, with work, with their kids, with any obligations. They're always too, I think with social drinkers, it's important to note. And if some of you feel that you're in this category, by all means, raise your hand, but they're always aware when they've had enough alcohol, right? Like I drank to not be aware of how much I was drinking. I drank when I drank to be messed up. I did not ever go into a night of having a drink like, oh, the Shiraz is going to taste so good. No, I went into drinking full force from high school, binge drinking to get drunk. That's how I always drink. I always drink alcoholically or leaning towards problematic binge drinker. So, I think that, it's, you know, important to note that you can start as a social drinker and move into a gray area. You can be a gray area and move into a non-drinker or a social drinker. Like these are the sliding scales of levels of drinking that are, you can move through and go into each area very effortlessly because it's still all a choice, right? And it's not getting drunk, equating getting drunk to having a good time with those three. A lot of things are different than with like, you know, addiction. And there's boundaries around all three of those: non-drinker, gray area drinker, and social drinker. Still have boundaries in place. There's no deterioration of quality of life for the most part. And so I think if you're in that stage, you're in a good place. If you're giving up alcohol and just struggling because of peer pressure and you don't really have friends who don't drink, you're in a great place to be in the world, honestly. Gray area drinking is a little bit, it's a little bit tricky, right? It affects millions of people. If you are a gray area drinker, you are not alone, you know? I think that for too long, our society and the medical community have placed drinking or drinking problems in a black and white box. Check this, check this, check this. When I don't think it's black and white at all. I think over half of the people who drink are probably gray area drinkers. You know, they're not abusing alcohol, but they're not socially drinking and only choosing to drink every once in a while. There is some habitual drinking happening, meaning they're drinking wine every day or 5 days a week. You are drinking frequently. How's that? And you haven't experienced a rock bottom, most of you, but I will say that there is a lot of impact on your life when you're a gray area drinker, because you guys experience the shame and the guilt and embarrassment for the habits that you have around your drinking. You don't like the choices you're making. You feel ashamed of maybe something you said or did, or you feel ashamed because you were only going to have two cocktails and you ended up drinking, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever with another couple friends, and you're angry with yourself, and then cue the guilt. The guilt express shows up and you're guilty. And, you know, I think that for most gray area drinkers, now I could be wrong, so feel free to raise your hand or put it in the chat box if you feel I'm wrong, or write into the show if you're listening to this episode. But I do think that the gray area drinkers most likely, more often than not, have a few drinks, glasses of wine, or a few drinks in the evenings during the week, and are binge drinking on the weekends. So while during the week it's 3 or 4, and maybe you don't even want to have those 3 glasses of wine, you're just having them again because it's becoming habitual. And then binge drinking on the weekends. And then I also want to note that this, if that's not you, it's okay, because there's also people who can abstain for several days in a row or weeks because you're trying to prove to yourself that you're a normal drinker, and then it doesn't last. So that falls into that category too. Then you slip back into old habits because you've proven that you're, I'm air quoting, not a heavy drinker. You took 2 weeks off. You took 10 days off. You did a cleanse, whatever. And I think that most gray area drinkers lean into the binge drinking too. You can binge drink on any given night. But the key word here I want to point out is choice. You still have a choice about how much you're drinking in your gray area drinking. So anyone who consumes more than 4 drinks in one sitting is, you know, binge drinking. And, you know, I think that there's this false definition for most adults that binge drinking is only for college kids. And that just isn't true. It is very, it is very prevalent in adult society, you know, and it doesn't, like, sometimes I will see people, and this is not a judgment comment, by the way, but sometimes I see like 70-year-olds binge drinking, and I just think, like, my gosh, like, haven't you had enough of I don't know. At 31, my hangovers were so bad. I can't imagine what they'd be like at 70 if I had kept drinking. Gray area drinkers, you guys realize and recognize that saying no to the second, third, fourth, fifth is hard to do. It's hard for you to cut it off and to stop. And I think the most important thing about gray area drinking is most times you drink more than you intended to, right? So again, you're questioning your drinking. You're questioning your relationship with alcohol. So that is the definition of gray area drinking. Moving into full-blown addiction, right? You really struggle with the quality of life. You are drinking to avoid feeling anything or numbing out problems. And you don't recognize necessarily that you are an alcoholic or that you have dependency on alcohol because you're not homeless, right? You're not brown bagging it in a parking lot or under a bridge. You know, I think that that's a misleading representation of alcoholic to begin with. And I think that they really should put a, you know, a stay-at-home mom up on a billboard because, or, you know, a hardworking dad, like, you know, alcoholics are in everyone's families. They're everywhere. They're not bad people. I am an alcoholic. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I think that it's this black and white thinking that has people thinking they don't have an alcohol disorder or dependency. And in fact, they do. Alcoholism is progressive. Liver disease, heart disease, cancer are on the rise in women because of our drinking in the last decade. You know, I think that it doesn't recognize, you know, alcohol doesn't care what you do, who you are, where you were raised. It affects millions of people. It is sneaky. It's really baffling and a powerful disease. And it is a disease. Addiction is a disease. It's not a weakness. It's a disease. And if you're sitting across staring at me on this Zoom meeting or you're listening to this episode, I have a feeling that you recognize that it is a disease and that you recognize that the relationship with alcohol is so tricky and powerful and holds something over you that you do not like, and you are looking for freedom from what alcohol holds over you as your personal relationship with it. So, no, you don't have to be a full-blown alcoholic to quit drinking. And I say this over and over, but I hope that you don't ever have to hit a bottom as low as I hit or as low as some of my friends have hit or, you know, or hit death, because alcoholics usually only wind up in institutions, in a grave, or in hospitals. So that's the outcome for severe alcoholism. And I think that that's an important thing to note. And know that wherever you fall on these four types of drinkers, the way that I categorize them, that you're not alone. You're not alone if you're a full-blown alcoholic, just like you're not alone if you don't drink. And the reason that you're here on this Zoom is to create relationships with other women who are looking to not drink and find other people who are focused on same types of goals with evaluating their relationship, taking a deeper, honest look at their relationship with alcohol. And that is fucking awesome, right? You don't have to be a full-blown alcoholic like me. You don't have to be. You can be a gray area drinker, yet you don't like the way alcohol makes you feel. So you're not going to drink anymore, or you're going to attempt to make a change. You need some help. I think that when giving up alcohol, it's very important to have a community of supportive people around you. It's almost impossible to sustain abstinence by yourself without the proper support around you, whether that's AA, whether that's any other type of recovery group or community, whether it's a course, whether it's a coach, whether it's, you know, a priest, you know, or a reverend, whatever it is, having people around you who support your decision to not drink is super important. And if you are struggling to figure out what life looks like without alcohol and how to live alcohol-free joyfully, then I will link the download to my 10 tips to living alcohol-free lifestyle. And you can try some of those out. And it's very helpful to know that there are things to do and strategies and tools to use when you give up drinking, because it's hard in this world today that we live in to quit drinking, because it is in every thing we see, in every ad you see, in every movie, in every video, TV, YouTube, TikTok, you name it. Like it's everywhere. And people who don't drink are the minority, although that is growing and things are shifting quickly. But if you're here today, I commend you for being here and attempting to evaluate your relationship with alcohol. Even that takes courage, and you are brave AF, and I'm proud of you for even having the balls to look at what your relationship with alcohol is, what it looks like for you, how it's affecting you, and being fucking honest with yourself that maybe your relationship with alcohol is not such a good one. So I commend you. You're brave. You're courageous. You guys are all awesome. The chat box blowing up. But I commend anyone who can take a deeper look at anything in their life that they are seeking to change. And especially something as powerful as alcohol, because even though it is just substance, it is a very highly dependent substance, and it's easy to get habitual with it and have dependency. So with that being said, thank you for coming today onto this Zoom meeting. If you're interested in clicking and in getting in on these live Zoom sessions for the podcast recording, please don't hesitate to send me an email, lifecoachbrooke@gmail.com, or click a link on the bottom here to get to my Instagram at brooke.collins.coaching. Send me a DM over there on TikTok, Brooke Collins Coaching. Please reach out to me. I would love to have you on here. Lately, we've been doing them Sunday evenings because that's what's worked out. And honestly, because I've been really procrastinating a lot of things, I really am looking at switching to Wednesday evenings. Because that seems to be a good time, or even Wednesday at lunch hour, the noon hour. So shoot me an email, reach out to me, let me know. Also, again, launching for the Sober Course of Recovery program is going to start at the end of this month, which is rapidly approaching. So if you're interested in the Sober Course of Recovery program that I've created, an 8-week recovery program community, then please click the link in the show notes so that you can sign up for the waitlist. So as soon as I open enrollment, you have an email in your inbox saying sign up now. So thanks again, guys, for coming. I will catch up with you all next week.